Are you ready for a touch of Costa Rica? Join me for a life-changing adventure in the land of Pura Vida. See a friendly face holding a sign with your name on it. Hop in the van and journey through a continuous scene of palm trees, farmland, sugarcane fields, colorful homes, and Brahmin cows to arrive at the Costa Rica School of Massage Therapy in Samurai Beach. Feel the excitement of what's to come at this wellspring of holistic health education, self-discovery, and community. Now, it's time to hear the story of one who has come before you. Welcome to A Touch of Costa Rica, a Costa Rican wellness travel podcast presented to you by the Costa Rica School of Massage Therapy in Samurai Beach, Costa Rica. You can learn more about their transformative offerings by clicking the link in this episode's bio. I'm Kiana Martin, your host and travel guide on this brief yet powerful trip to introduce you to the people, places, and priceless takeaways that are waiting for you. Today, I'm pleased to introduce you to Erin Morangian, a licensed massage therapist, manual lymph drainage educator, and owner of Gentle Strength Massage. She is based in Fort Collins, Colorado. Erin, when was your first introduction to massage and what inspired it?
So I did not get my first massage until I was in my 30s. And I was a busy working mom, and I was kind of, I had that feeling that that was a luxury for other people. But somebody gave it to me as a birthday present. And it really opened my eyes because I was at a point in my life where I was making some decisions. I was getting ready to go back to school. In my 20s, I had been apprenticing and studying to be a midwife, and we were working on legislation and trying to establish a standard of care, but it was really more around home birth. So by the time my kids were old enough that I thought I could go back to school, I came up for air and the landscape had kind of changed. We had moved to a different state and home birth was not legal where I was, and you had to be a nurse first and then become a certified nurse midwife. And that really wasn't what I wanted to do. So I was trying to figure out what was I going to do. And then I go have this wonderful massage and it's like, oh, maybe this would be a way to go. So for at least half of that massage, I was peppering that poor therapist with questions about what were the requirements and where did she go to school and all of that. So I was lucky enough to find a 500-hour massage therapy school as a jump-off point right in my own town. So that's where I decided to start.
Wow, that's so interesting. How did that massage experience change the trajectory of your life and play a role in transporting you to a 20-plus year journey in massage?
Well, it impacted me pretty profoundly because before that, massage therapy wasn't even on my radar. Like I said, I'd never even had one. And so it just really opened up that world to me. And while I was in massage school, it was becoming clear to me that what I really wanted to do was work with people that had health issues, including cancer. At that time, unfortunately, I had a good friend and a couple of family members that were dealing with cancer, but we were being told we really shouldn't massage them because there was a fear of spreading the cancer, which of course we now know is not true. But at the time, I really wanted to get my hands on them with my newfound massage skills, but I really wanted to be safe. I certainly didn't want to make anything worse for anybody. So I decided to take another year of medical massage. And one of the instructors there, Charna Rosenholtz, became a mentor for me. And she is the one that kind of directed me to Vodder because that was the quintessential place to get training in people that had lymphatic nodes removed or radiated. And they were actually based in Austria. But a couple of times a year, they came over to Canada and different places in the States to teach satellite programs. And so that's what I decided to do. I started out with a week in Berkeley to kind of dip my toe in the water and see if that was something I really wanted to do. And then I came home, just kind of incorporated that into my practice and decided that In fact, I really did love it. And then I ended up finishing up that program up in Canada.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. When you started exploring more deeply medical massage, did manual lymph drainage and lymphedema therapy immediately come to your attention, or how did you zero in on those modalities?
Well, medical massage was that course, which was wonderful. It was a year long and incorporated St. John's and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it kind of crystallized for me that I'm glad I did it and I learned a lot, but I really didn't want to do deep tissue and sports massage and those kinds of things. And that I really was looking at a more gentle approach to working with people that had compromised health. So that's kind of what led me into MLD.
I know you mentioned one or two places that you ventured to get additional training. Can you lay out for us the exact path that you took to acquire the highly specialized training in these modalities?
Sure. So I first started out after that year of medical massage. I was pursuing the VADR training, and I started that out in Berkeley. And like I said, I kind of incorporated that. Then I went up to Canada to finish out the last 3 weeks of that program, and that was a full lymphedema program. And that was a wonderful experience. We came into Victoria, British Columbia. There was a girls' school that was empty for the summer, so we kind of just took it over. We stayed in the dorms. We ate in the cafeteria. We walked the grounds to decompress after very intense days. And so it was pretty much immersion into that whole world. And it was a wonderful experience. I'm really glad I did it. It was very intense. And also, I got an extra little blessing out of that because I met another student who was actually from Colorado. We hadn't known each other and didn't know that, obviously, that we were both going to end up practicing in Colorado. And back then, there weren't too many people doing lymphedema care other than physicians and in that kind of a in the oncology world. And so it was really nice to have each other to bounce things off of. And we've become lifelong friends. And she is actually the one that brought me on board at the hospital where I ended up working for almost 20 years. I also had the opportunity to go to Germany to do some advanced training in lymphedema work at the Foldy Clinic, which was wonderful also. It's near the Black Forest. It's a wonderful location. And the Foldy Clinic has a worldwide reputation as a lymphedema research and treatment center. So that was lectures in the day. And because it was near the Black Forest, we got to go hiking, and that was wonderful. We also got to work with the clinicians while they were seeing patients. In Germany, it's a different model. These people get to stay in this facility for 30 days. They have treatment twice a day. Their diet is monitored. They give them exercise programs and home care plans, too, so that they can do a maintenance program. But that was pretty amazing and wonderful opportunity for me.
That's so interesting. How did these experiences shape your understanding of these treatments and modalities?
Well, I saw things in Germany, particularly, that I didn't see even when I was working in the hospital here in the States. There were more serious cases of people with lymphatic disease. And I think that's probably because, like I said, the Foldy Clinic was a magnet for those patients. And also, they'd been doing it for decades over there. Manual lymph drainage was actually developed in the 1930s. By the Vaders, and it has been used in Europe for all these decades since.
Wow, that's so amazing. How has lymphatic massage evolved since you first began studying the modality?
When I first came out of school and started practicing MLD and lymphedema care, I was seeing mostly breast cancer patients. And in those days, the only time you heard about lymphatic massage was in the oncology world, but also in the spa setting. It's evolved over the years to incorporate a lot more. We see a lot of post-surgical clients, including orthopedic surgeries, as well as people that are dealing with autoimmune dysfunctions. And the most recent surge in clients seems to be post-cosmetic surgery, because these plastic surgeons they realize the benefit of getting that swelling down right away to make their work look better, but also the client is happier, and it's a great modality for after cosmetic surgeries.
Wow, that's so interesting. At what point did you become inspired to take the leap to serving as an educator?
Well, that was my trip to Germany. I was so fortunate because one of the lecturers was actually Atelka Foldy, who was one of the founders of that institution. She and her husband founded the Foldy Clinic in 1979. And before that, they were brilliant researchers and practitioners. And her husband had retired by then, Michael Foldy, but she was still practicing, running the clinic, doing research and lecturing. And so it was really a privilege to be able to hear her lecture, because she has since retired. But she was so inspiring, not just about the work, but kind of piqued my brain that maybe I could teach. Body work is kind of a limited lifespan for me anyway. It gets harder on my body. And so I had that little radar out there that maybe I could do something different and teach. And at that time, I was teaching fitness to seniors and people with mobility issues. She was like every little cartoony picture that you can get in your mind of Mrs. Santa Claus, except for that she's very petite and she's brilliant. But she was just sparkly and blue eyes, rosy cheeks, white hair, but in a lab coat. And she just was so inspirational that when I came back to the States, Gunter Close has a close association with the Foldy Clinic. And so he and I talked, and I was recruited and came on board for them.
That's wonderful. In 2024, you will be imparting your world-class expertise as a visiting instructor for the Costa Rica School of Massage Therapy's Manual Lymph Drainage Continuing Education course. Can you tell our listeners why lymphatic massage is so important and explain the value of receiving an elite standard of training in this modality?
Well, I think an elite standard of training is critical in lymphatic work. And I think there are a lot of levels of lymphatic massage training available. There are, short 1 day or 2 day courses. As a matter of fact, that's where I started out. But my school was having a weekend course in lymph massage, but there was no discussion of anatomy and physiology or what we were actually affecting with our work. And so I needed a little bit more, and that is what put me on that journey. And I think that some of these classes equip you to work well in a spa or that kind of a setting. There's nothing wrong with doing that kind of lymph massage. But if you're going to be working with people that have health issues, it becomes much more critical to know what you're doing, because there actually are some contraindications for doing this kind of work. And you want to know what's going on with that person. And that's one of the things that we try to help the students leave with.
What are some of the benefits students can expect to take away from their training with you?
We do provide a pretty good foundation in anatomy and physiology. We feel like that's really important. We want you to understand the system and then also the techniques and what it is you're doing for people. I really like to focus in my classes on the benefits of manual lymph drainage and then what might present in your clinic or practice. And how do you match those two things together so that you can pick the right tools? And also, like I said, when it's safe and when it's not safe to work on these people. I think our classes are great because we do have a good teacher and student ratio, because it is a kind of a new technique. It's different than the deep tissue and muscle-oriented work that most massage therapists have been doing. So we'd like to make sure that their hand skills as well as their knowledge is good. And we want them to leave feeling confident to really start using some of these techniques.
This segment of our conversation is the perfect segue to a question that I have for our listeners. Are you looking to enhance your holistic health journey in a Costa Rican tropical oasis? Click the link in the podcast bio to secure your space in Erin Morangian's June 30th through July 7th, 2024 Manual Lymphatic Drainage Massage Certification course. Make this your moment to expand your skill set at this magical campus. By the way, you don't have to wait until you arrive in Samurai Beach to make an impact. Inspire others by sharing this episode and leaving a 5-star review. Now back to my conversation with Erin Morangian, a licensed massage therapist, manual lymph drainage educator, and owner of Gentle Strength Massage. She's based in Fort Collins, Colorado. I'm sure our listeners would love to learn more about your business, Gentle Strength Massage. Talk to us a bit about your practice and some of the aspects of your work that bring you joy.
Well, I actually started Gentle Strength while I was still in massage school. We were encouraged in the business parts of class to come up with a name and that kind of thing. And I really felt like Gentle Strength conveyed everything I wanted to convey. And I've been in private practice since then, but I've also worked at a hospital. I worked at a hand clinic. Now I teach. So it's kind of ebbed and flowed as far as how much that was a big part of my business. Sometimes it was on the back burner. I'm no longer work at the hospital, and I'm now in private practice and teaching. Those are my two gigs. And I just feel very fortunate to be able to do this work. My work has kind of evolved to specializing. When you first come out of massage school, of course, everybody wants to try everything. And then I think there's this thing that happens with massage therapists where we experience something and we think, oh, maybe I want to learn that too. And so we end up taking all these tools, but refining all of those tools, which we do use, into our own special brand of what it is that we're providing. And I hope that's what I've done with Gentle Strength.
As an independent massage therapist, what are some of the skills and tools that you've relied upon to navigate the ebb and flow of your practice?
Well, I think that there are two levels of skills that you need. I think if you're going to be an independent contractor, you have to do things like keep good records. I think it's really important, especially if you're working by yourself, to connect with other therapists in the community, not only for just support, but also to refer out. If somebody knows that you have a specialty, they might refer somebody to you and vice versa. And just that camaraderie and support, I think, is really important. I do think record keeping is important as an independent contractor. And whether you're talking about the money part so that your taxes always look good, or your soap notes, all those things. And if that is not your thing, then figure out a way to do it. There are so many services that are provided for that so that you can focus on the parts that you love, which, you know, is probably getting your hands on people. And I think the other level of advice that I would give is more along the spiritual, emotional. And I think the people that are drawn to this work are innately caregivers. I think we need to make sure and take care of ourselves as well. And I think that we all are really good listeners. Remember that we're also listening with our hands, because our hands become skilled. It's almost like a superpower. I remember leaving massage school thinking, I am never going to have the palpation skills of some of these other people. And of course, it just comes, and you have these wonderful palpation skills that just inform you what to do with your work. I think it's also important to keep on learning. And I don't mean just about massage, although I think that's important to keep up excitement, but learn other things. Get out of that world. Get out of your head. I'm actually learning to do stained glass because it was something I'd always wanted to do. And I just think that keeps us engaged and excited and not too bogged down in the numbers and things like that. And it seems I've been very fortunate that things have ebbed and flowed in a way that worked for me.
Wow, that's such powerful advice. I do have a follow-up question in regards to what you mentioned in regards to record keeping and taking care of the focusing on the things that resonate with you, and then finding ways to maybe farm out other things that don't resonate with you in the business? Were there certain aspects of the business that did not resonate with you as an independent operator? And if so, how did you get those things handled?
Well, luckily, I have some background in administrative and bookkeeping. My husband and I had a business, so I pretty much have that covered. I think one of the hard things for me is to separate my work life from my home life. When I very first started, I had kids at home, so I needed a different space to work, just to get my head in a different space. But now, even though it's just me and my husband, I still really like having a separate space. I think that helps me. I think I really like having a separate space because it just becomes this little oasis, not only for my clients, but for me. And gosh, we're so lucky, right? We get to work one-on-one with people in a quiet, lovely space, maybe candles, music, all of that. So I feel really good about that. I know a lot of people right now are doing online stuff, like online scheduling. And they have Facebook and Instagram and other ways that people can get in touch with them. And if that's your thing, I think that's great, because a lot of these SquareUp and all of those places have a lot of tools set up specifically for massage therapists or for appointment making and taking money and all of those things. And it kind of takes care of a lot of that record keeping for you, because you can print out reports and stuff.
Can you share a quick story where a manual lymph drainage and or lymphedema therapy client's life has been changed by your touch?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time, so I can think of several. My work with some cancer patients has been really profound. It's a journey to go on with these people. And not to sound too cliche, but a lot of the breast cancer patients specifically have been really inspiring for me, maybe because they're women, you know, around my age, but in overcoming some of the obstacles. And a lot of them have been my clients for a long time. And so sometimes there's even a situation where they have a recurrence of cancer and all the things that that entails. But I feel like the part of our work is providing that non-clinical touch for people in this situation. They have to be tested, prodded, poked, and that's part of their treatment. It's essential. But I get to do the lovely part. I get to just support them in a whole different way. And I feel like when they come to see me, it's a safe place. So there's that emotional component. As far as the mechanical, I can think of specifically right now, a post-op knee replacement guy who was totally frustrated because he had hit that 7-week mark and he was supposed to be all better and he'd done his rehab and everything else. But our work with manual lymph drainage really helps, even in their rehab. That rehab, that PT rehab, can be pretty grueling, as it needs to be to make progress. But again, we can follow up with helping with the swelling and the pain and all those things. And by helping with swelling, we've helped increase their range of motion. And so mechanically, you see a lot of success in that way as well.
Wow, that's so interesting. Where can our listeners connect with you and your work online?
Pretty much right now, I just have a website. So my website is www.withgentlestrength.com. And it's all one word.
What's one piece of advice you would give to new students or current practitioners about the value of their work changing over time?
Well, I do think that learning is important. I think it's great to learn all these different modalities. I decided early on that I would rather be really good at one thing than provide everything. And that doesn't mean that I haven't taken a lot of continuing education. I've done Thai, cupping, all these things. And I kind of glean out of those the things that I think will actually support the way that I want to work, which I think is good. And it does keep you engaged. But I do think, too, you have to kind of sit back every once in a while and think, do I feel scattered or do I feel grounded? who are the people on my schedule when I look at my schedule in the morning and I think, oh, shoot, I don't have the energy for this type of massage or this person or whatever, versus the ones that it's like, oh, good, I'm glad this person's coming in today. And start to kind of evaluate what it is that is really the most fulfilling for you. And I think you have to do that periodically. I'm just in a really sweet spot, like I said, teaching and seeing clients. I'm only working a few days a week right now. And of course, I'm gone when I'm teaching. And I think, oh, I should have mentioned this before, too, that I think sometimes sharing an office is a really good idea. I thought it would be great financially, and that's mainly why I started doing it, since I'm not in the office all the time. But it's also, it forces me to take some time off. When the other woman that shares my office space is in there, I can't book anybody. So I have that automatic reason to not. And I think that's an okay thing too. Plus we just, again, that community.
That's really priceless advice. In closing, if you could sum up your holistic health journey in one word, what would it be and why?
I think expansion. Because this work has expanded me in ways that I didn't expect. Like I said, it wasn't even on my radar all those years ago. So not only professionally have I kept growing, I had no idea where this path was going to take me. But I think a lot of personal growth has happened as well because of some of these opportunities that have been provided for me. And it puts me in a position where I want to keep learning and then I want to keep sharing that information. And like I said, I just keep growing.
Before we leave the sands of Samurai Beach behind, I want you to imagine one more sun rising up over the crystal blue waters of the Pacific Ocean. Let it serve as your invitation to click the link in this episode's bio to join us for one of Costa Rica School of Massage Therapy's upcoming massage programs, retreats, or continuing education offerings. We can't wait to meet you.